Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the show, we have Allie Green, the co-founder of Remote Works, an organizational design and consulting firm with a mission to liberate teams from the 9-to-5 and teach them how to do their best work anytime, anywhere. Along with Tamara Sanderson, Allie Green has spent a combined 2 decades in distributed workplaces. Green as the former director of people operations at DuckDuckGo, and Sanderson as the director of strategic partnerships and corporate development at Automatic. Throughout their joint career history, they've worked in varied environments, including big tech, startups, creative agencies, and management consulting and private equity. And their new book is Remote Works, Managing for Freedom, Flexibility, and Focus, which is the ultimate playbook for managing remote teams. And Allie, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time. Looking forward to hearing from you as well. So for starters, talk to me about remote work fluency. Why do you think this is the must-have skill set for the future? And what does it mean? Let's start there.
Yes. So remote work fluency is a combination of the behaviors and the mindset of how you approach a digital first environment. And so this can encompass competencies and skill sets anywhere from doing your work fully on site, but leaning into storing and documenting information on the cloud for increased transparency and ease of use in the future, or describing situations where you have a completely distributed team where team members are working asynchronously to get work done across the globe, not necessarily having to coordinate their work efforts over real-time meetings, and having the attitude and the ability to showcase their best effort and work towards an output-oriented goal by doing things like carefully documenting work, having smooth handoffs without coordinating time and meetings, getting to know each other and building vulnerability and relationships without having to spend time in person together. And yes, it is all possible. And it's just up to companies to decide how to foster that fluency, how to teach people the necessary muscles to do so, and to know that practice makes perfect.
Certainly a great way to kick things off. Tremendous information and feedback there. Thank you for that. Now, what are some ways to build culture remotely? That would seem to be such a challenge, but I'm sure there's a way to do it. Get into that a little bit.
Yes, I love this question because I think people oftentimes assume that culture needs to be something where you have people in a shared space. Historically, companies have really boosted their culture by things like the words and the phrases they had painted across the walls, or the conversations that happened organically during lunchtimes or happy hours. And when you really look at culture from a sociological perspective, that's not actually what culture is meant to do. So culture is all about the shared values, shared language, and when it comes to work, this what I like to call the standard operating behaviors of what are the norms that you want to continue to foster within your team and at work, and what are the behaviors you want to reward, and what are the things that are going to create tension and conflict at work that you want to minimize. And a perfect example of how this can be achieved without having an office is you think to sport teams. So recently there was the World Cup, and you have teams that really buy into across the world, rooting for a specific team, knowing the lingo, knowing the players, the colors associated with that team. All of that is building a strong sense of culture and unity and a sense of mission for a certain team to win without ever spending time in person. And taking this example back to the office, this can be done by creating rituals at work that are about the work processes itself. So things like, how do we honor that somebody is living up to their expectations and accountability? If they say they're getting work done by a certain deadline, and we believe and value that as an organization, do we reward people that turn their work in on time, or do we let people constantly slip through and not get deadlines being met? All of those subtle nuances of how you approach the work over time build culture remotely. So it's not about, you know, getting together and being around a table sharing chicken wings together. It's about being in an environment where you can build trust and build a sense of a shared mission and shared values.
Good stuff. Good information there and great examples as well. Now, there's a lot of commentary about remote work and productivity. Can you explain why this mindset has to change?
Yes. So I see a lot of reports and media and research attacking productivity and remote work from two angles. On one hand, you have the critics that say remote workers can't be productive because they're working in their pajamas and they're not taking their work seriously. And it's time to get people back into the office so we can show their commitment to their work. And on the other hand, we see a lot of reports coming up about remote work and productivity. Productivity is up. Remote workers are working more hours. They're using time that they used to use on commuting to get more work done. And my response to all of those articles and the critics out there is neither of those things are defining productivity in the right way. And so it's not about FaceTime anymore. We're moving away from an input-driven mindset. It's no longer about working more hours. It's about working smarter to achieve the qualified outputs necessary to push the value of the business forward. And so what's really great about remote work and productivity, let's forget about how many hours people are working and let's talk about, are we helping employees, teams, leaders find environments where they can thrive to get work done in an efficient way, be more effective at their job, be more creative? And that can mean that they're working in non-linear days. They're doing small chunks of work throughout the day and taking lots of time to have periods of rest to not burn out. Maybe they're working in a different location, such as a coffee shop or a co-working space where their creative juices are flowing and innovation is up for the company and therefore productivity is up. And so when it comes to remote work, it's all about redefining how we've looked at things in the past, including redefining productivity into what is the output we want to achieve and how can any one worker achieve this output in a highly customized way that is right for them.
Once again, Allie, really appreciate your time and the information and insights shared so far today. We're speaking with Allie Green, the co-founder of Remote Works, an organizational design and consulting firm with a mission to liberate teams from the 9 to 5 and teach them how to do their best work anytime, anywhere. She's also the co-author of the new book, Remote Works, Managing for Freedom, Flexibility, and Focus, the ultimate playbook for managing remote teams. And she's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of VPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, why are you so passionate about remote work to begin with? And what does it mean to you as well?
Yeah, so remote work has really changed my life professionally and personally. And so when I left university, I really believed in that stereotypical United States rat race. I moved to New York City. I worked for a advertising company, and I had that hour-long commute shifting subway lines in the door at 8, stayed until after my boss left at 6. And I looked into my future as someone early in my career and said, is this all there is to work in life? Like I felt gypped. I felt this is what they sold to us growing up. This doesn't make me feel motivated. This doesn't make me feel passionate about what I believe to be true around my contributions for work. And really questioning the status quo about what it could mean to be successful, highly motivated, wanting to help a company achieve great things. And that led me down this road to remote work. And what I learned in that journey is that if you allow people the autonomy to create a lifestyle for themselves, they will find the things that bring them joy and passion in their personal life, and that happiness will help them be better at work. And what that meant for me personally was I really leaned into this explorer mindset and I started traveling the world full time as a full time employee. I was able to meet amazing friends and incredibly just inspiring people that I would have not been able to cross paths with if I was not traveling, including my business partner, Tam, including my romantic partner. And I was able to learn from my colleagues that were part of different cultures and really grow in my career, because as someone who's a people operations professional, thinking through challenges you have when people of different cultures interact in the workspace and what that can mean, really living through the challenges that remote workers face when they're in isolated time zones and being on the ground doing those things gave me a unique vantage point to add value to the companies that I work for.
Now, Allie, people are always on these days. How can remote workers create boundaries between work and home, which is always going to be a challenge, I would think?
Yes, especially if you only have one or two devices and you're using that device for both personal things and professional things. So I think it's really important that you create a ritual for yourself that designates that the work time is over. So it can be as simple as closing your laptop down and going to get a glass of water only to reopen that laptop and have that context switch that I'm no longer in work mode. Is incredibly important. So there's one, creating boundaries within yourself where you designate the times of the day where you're going to lean into work and you're going to lean into life. And being really honest about that with yourself and what your limitations are. And then expressing those boundaries explicitly within your organization. And so we have a few tools in our book, one called the collaboration kickoff and the second one called the user guide. And when these two things are used together, it's an opportunity for people to connect with their managers and teams to talk about, this is the type of work life that I want to have. I'm going to work in the mornings, East Coast time, and take a big chunk of time off in the afternoons. And if you can express that and then document it, so anyone who opens up your user guide sees, oh, well, Eric, he's going to work in the mornings and not be available in the afternoons. I'll only schedule meetings with him in the morning. It's a very visible clue to everyone you work with about what your boundaries are. So that's another really tactical way that you can express your expectations with your team.
Yeah, I can appreciate creating routine and rituals. That is a big help right there for sure. Now, people also seem to be in a state of information overload with constant notifications and Zoom calls. How do you recommend remote workers quell the communication storm?
Yes, I was just having a conversation with someone doing this for their remote company just earlier today. And there's a few things, again, that you can do to really streamline your communication. And one is, and we have a whole chapter about this in the book, streamline what we like to call your digital house, which is a collection of all of the tools you use to share information in your company. And make it very explicit when, why, and how people should interact with those tools. And so similar to a physical house, you know that you're going to cook in the kitchen and eat in the dining room. At work, do you know why you're using Slack channels versus why you're using a project management tool versus email? Make sure, again, that those expectations are explicit to everyone on your team, so you're not getting constant notifications and pings in Slack and then an email about the same subject line. You're streamlining the communication, reducing how much information is being shared, and therefore allowing people to go and seek out that information when they have the mental capacity to understand it. Again, it's all about creating simple rules and making it easy for people to understand how they should interact with the tools to help them, not create more stress and burnout and quick notifications that will make them feel they need to respond when in fact they can just slow down and be thoughtful in their communication.
Well, that's certainly some great advice right there, and really do appreciate your feedback per that last question. Now, as we conclude today, any closing thoughts, a takeaway tip, anything else you'd like to hone in on or conclude with here today?
I would just remind everybody that remote work is a muscle you need to learn how to work out. You're going to have little bits of failure and lots of successes, so just keep experimenting and find out what works for you.
Certainly appreciate those concluding remarks and your time here today and for what you do in this space as well. I'm sure listeners want to know where they could best pick up the book, Remote Works, and how they could also get more information about yourself. Where's the best place to do so?
Yes, definitely. So the book is available worldwide on Amazon, Remote Works, Managing for Freedom, Flexibility, and Focus. And you can learn about me and Tam by connecting with us personally on LinkedIn, as well as following our company, Remote Works Book, and remoteworksbook.com, our website where we share monthly reflections on remote work in our community newsletter.
And of course, we'll leave those links accordingly within the show notes of this broadcast. Allie, all the best, and thanks so much again for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
And you too. Again, we've been speaking with Allie Green, the co-founder of Remote Works, an organizational design and consulting firm with a mission to liberate teams from the 9 to 5 and teach them how to do their best work anytime, anywhere. She's also the co-author of the new book, Remote Works, Managing for Freedom, Flexibility, and Focus, the ultimate playbook for managing remote teams. And again, the website of reference is remoteworksbook.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.